You're listening to the Numbers Matter Podcast, the official podcast of Numbers Matter Accounting and Bookkeeping.
Welcome to the Numbers Matter Podcast. I'm the founder of Numbers Matter, Chris Fallon. I'm here with my dear friend and author, Christy Strauss.
Hi, Chris.
Today, we're going to talk about a follow-up from last month's episode where we talked about the enjoying life and saving for retirement. That Numbers Matter handles tax and accounting, but we want to talk a little bit today about financial planners and estate planning.
Yes.
And I know you have experience with both.
I do. I'm the type of person that wants and needs a lot of help, professional help. Now, you can do your own estate plan and your own retirement plan. There's lots and lots of tools. I mentioned this in the podcast from last month, but Vanguard, Fidelity, Charles Schwab, those, the big three, I guess, all have tools that will guide you without even talking to a human being about how to invest your money. There's actually a fund. All three of them have this specific fund. You set what your retirement date is, you know, like it's 2050 or 2075 or whatever. Put all your money in that fund, and every year they, or maybe even more often, they balance it between stocks and bonds. So it starts out really risky at the beginning, and toward the end, when you get closer to retirement, it starts being less and less risky when you're going to withdraw the money. And it's super no mess, no fuss. And I'm not recommending that. I'm not a financial planner, but it's something that you could look into if you want to do it yourself. Not normally. Most of the time, if you want to get help, the people who help cost money, and it's not worth your time to spend that much money on assets under $500,000, probably. But that's a place where you could do your own research.
So we work with a lot of financial planners.
Yeah.
Because while we can, like I said, do tax and accounting, and but we don't do financial planning. Mm-hmm. We don't do estate planning. So we have relationships with many financial planners. Some are fee-based and some are not fee-based. Has your experience been with fee-based?
Yeah.
Yes. And how has that went for you?
It's good. The fee-based... You have to actually really pay close attention to the fees, because there's a couple different ways that you get charged fees. The financial planner that I work with charges a percentage of the portfolio, but there's also fees. Every single thing you invest in has a fee. So even that, whatever that mutual fund thing is that I was talking about, that's the fixed retirement date, that has a fee. So there's two sets, and you have to actually kind of pay close attention to get a whole full picture. So no matter if you, even if you don't have a financial planner that charges, however they charge, whatever you invest in will also have fees. And that's a thing to pay attention to.
So is the financial planner that you work with a fiduciary?
Yes.
Yes. And what is the importance of that?
That's hugely important. So a fiduciary is somebody who by law has to take my best interest into consideration. So that's probably the first question you would want to ask anybody that you would want to hire to do your financial planning. And there's actually fee-based two different ways. A friend of mine uses a fee-based financial planner, but she pays the person by the hour, which is probably the most efficient way to do it and least expensive. And not all that many financial planners do it that way, because you don't make as much money. The one I work with charges just the percentage of the portfolio.
Do you know what the percentage is?
It's 0.65.
That's not bad.
No.
Because often it goes up to 1.5.
Yeah, it does. And that's a definite question, which I think I already said once. So we should talk about estate planning. Were you going to ask me that?
Sure. What have you done for estate planning?
Well, so everyone... Maybe, at least I hated doing this, because you have to sit down and face your own death and what you want to happen with your assets and all your stuff when you die. And that's a hard conversation, especially if you're very young. But even, I don't know, maybe it's always a hard conversation. Like, who do you actually want to leave things to? I heard this thing on a podcast a couple of days ago, that death is a feature, not a bug. And everybody dies. So it's a conversation that you need to have with yourself, that I had to have with myself, about what do I value, you know, and it's not like I'm going to leave millions of dollars to anybody, but who do I want to have a little bit of extra money when I die? And it makes me have to face my own death, and also makes me have to face my own priorities.
Only because I know you.
Yeah.
I know you have an art collection.
Yes.
Did you leave that specifically to someone, or have you made those decisions yet?
I haven't made the decision about the art collection. I have, I actually had a bunch of Native American jewelry from my family, and I gave that all away now.
Nice.
Yeah, to family members. As much, I'm not ready to give the art away because it's still hanging on the walls. And I have somebody in my trust who I have talked to about how to disperse it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I found when we did our estate planning that there was a great sense of relief.
I felt that too afterwards, but did you feel like it when you were doing it?
So we made it somewhat simpler in that we knew we were going to give our mortal remains to science.
Yes, I did that too.
Yeah. And there is a for-profit in town, mm-hmm. so that there's a guaranteed acceptance, mm-hmm. No matter your condition. So, because I thought, well, who wants to be judged at that moment? Like, this isn't good enough to take. Like,
right.
this goes into the scrap heap or... And then your heirs are scrambling. What are they going to do? I guess burn it.
Oh, God.
Because, right. Yeah, it's not in condition to sell off the bits. So we did that. But really, that in and of itself was a great relief. Like, now I know exactly what's going to happen. There's no decisions to be made for the heirs. And then, you know, we also have a large art collection, mm-hmm. A lot of tchotchke in the house, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff that I don't know if we're going to get rid of because, you know, still relatively youngish as it relates to death planning. Mm-hmm. The instructions are that everything's to be sold.
Oh.
And then the money's just divided up. And that way people don't have, like, they don't have to, you know, most of the family's not in Arizona. They don't have to come here to administer it. It just gets sold. They get a check. It's like these days you don't give kids toys, right? You give them gift cards. Yeah, so right. This just expands upon
so true.
That idea.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. I haven't done that. I did the donate the body to science thing, and that's a huge relief. And then, you know, hearkening back to the save for your retirement or enjoy your life podcast from last month, the third category is save the world. And so part of my estate plan, I'm still trying to save the world. So that's a... Oh,
so you have charitable giving.
Yeah, I do.
Do you have charitable giving as a tax reduction strategy?
Not yet. I might need to do that as I get a little bit older. I was sort of afraid to do that now because I wasn't sure exactly how that would impact my retirement income. But that is definitely something we should probably talk about on another podcast.
We definitely will on another podcast. We're going to be having guests this summer. And maybe I think one of our guests is going to be Tiffany Woods. She is a CEPA designation, which is a certified exit planning person.
Exit planning.
Yes. Now, we have been talking about death, but it's really exiting a business.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but she also, she is a certified advisor in philanthropy.
Oh, which is really good.
Which is good. And yet, let's admit it, you know, we work with business owners and high net worth individuals who are interested in also saving the planet, but doing so in a way that puts money back into their pocket and saves their taxes. So that is a structure in charitable trust. There are many different types that will do that. And I think there's some excellent ways to minimize your tax, especially when a lot of retirees today have a large RMD.
Yes, a required minimum distribution.
Right. And so they have a lot of taxable income mm-hmm. because Roths weren't as popular when these people were funding their 401ks or whatnot.
Yeah.
So there's definitely mechanisms to reduce the tax impact of RMDs by charitable giving that also provide the person an income stream. There's many different options on how to do that. It's very interesting.
Yeah, that's something definitely to look at, because then the money can start doing something right now.
Exactly.
Instead of burn a hole in my pocket.
Right. So you would save the world and save yourself.
Yes.
Which like is that. Really yeah, how it good. Should go.
That's good.
Have you ever come across a situation where the estate planning was difficult because of family members? Like with your parents or?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my particular one, sadly this problem resolved itself, but you know, there was a person in my family who had really bad alcoholism and drug addiction. So the big discussion is, do you leave them any money or do you not leave them any money? And, you know, unfortunately he passed away. So, or whatever. So I don't have to face that, but that can be a real issue. You know, like everybody always thinks more money is better under every circumstance, but in certain circumstances, more money is destructive. And that's a conversation I had to have with myself.
That reminds me, you used to own a business. Uh-huh. Did you have an exit strategy if something happened to you where you had passed away as the business owner? Did you have that plotted out?
Oh, that would be such a great thing if I say yes to that. But no. No, I had two different kinds of businesses. One that was sellable, you know, the IT business that I had. And so before it was an issue, I was able to sell it. And a coaching practice is mostly not really a sellable asset. It's more like it's kind of like a job in a way. So I didn't have an exit strategy for that. And, you know, all of these exit strategies, it's a great euphemism, you know, it sort of takes the sting away and stuff. But when I first started doing all this estate planning and, you know, trusts and stuff like that, I was thinking, because you really do have to face it. Like, I'm not going to be here forever. What is the implication of that? And I think no matter whether you're trying to figure out how to exit a business, if you're not going to be around anymore, or your trust, who you're going to leave your money to, you really, step one is to face the mortality. And that is not easy.
That is not easy.
No, I think that's one reason why people procrastinate so much.
I have clients that are procrastinating on retirement because they feel that if they retire, then they're dead.
Yeah, I know. People do feel like that.
Yeah,
like,
so now they're working way past their prime and right, not enjoying themselves and right, becoming in poor health.
Yeah, that's not good. So, I used to work for IBM a long time ago, and they used to have this terrible saying, retire at 65, dead at 67.
There's a good solid 2 years of enjoyment, probably.
Oh, wahoo! Let's do that. Yeah, that's not what we're looking for sure. Want to get those trips to Europe in there before.
So to wrap this up, I'll say that Numbers Matter works with, here's a shameless plug. One of our clients is the law office at Libby Banks, Estates, Wills, and Trusts. So we highly recommend Libby and her team. They do a great job. Also, we work with many financial planners. We usually team a client to the financial planner that we think is best for them, but you can meet any of them. Just contact us if you need a referral.
Yes. Thank you. This is a really thought-provoking topic.
Thank you for listening to the Numbers Matter podcast. Episodes are released monthly. Check out Numbers Matter at our website, nmaab.com. If you or anyone you know are in need of accounting services in the greater Phoenix area, feel free to reach out at the contact page on our website, or you can send an email to chris@nmaab.com. You can also give us a call at 602-614-3404. This has been a T-Door production. Theme music by RKVC.